your Bibles up with me this morning to the book of Malachi, please. The book of Malachi, Old Testament. Last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And we're going to go to Malachi in chapter 3 this morning. Now, as soon as I said Malachi chapter 3, what was the first thought that came into your mind? Be honest.
Tithing.
Malachi chapter 3, you get down to verse 10. Verse 11 talks about giving your tithe and not withholding from God. And that's the first thing people think when you say Malachi chapter 3. But I want to begin this morning. I want you to go with me, if you would, to Malachi chapter 3. And I want to begin in verse 12, if I can. Down in verse 12. We're going to have a word of prayer, then we'll begin. Father, thank you now for your word. Thank you for the privilege, Father, you've given to me to be here today. Thank you for this church, Father, and the support they've been to us over the last number of years now, Father, and God, how they've allowed me to come here and preach a number of different times. God, thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for their love. Thank you for your mercy and your grace in our lives, Father. We ask this, you'd use this today to honor and glorify you. In Christ's precious name, amen. Amen. Now, I've titled this message this way. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this thought down. Speak against or speak for. Yeah. Speak against or speak for. If you look at me down in verse 12, after the tithing, he talks about the tithing, and he says, all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now watch what he says. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Now watch this thought here with you, with me for a minute. These folks here in first two, three verses speak against God. They were Jewish. They knew who God was. They had worshiped God. But now they're saying, how come God is allowing this to happen rather than the blessing that I should be having? So as we look at the scripture, I look at verse 17 real quick. He says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I wake up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now, I want to just think about this again for just a moment now. These up here to speak against God. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12 says, and it shall come to pass, he says, that at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. I hear this all the time in our country right now as I'm going from area to area to church and people make the statements or making this statement all the time. How come God, if he's God, how come God is allowing to happen in our world what he's allowing to happen? If he is God, how come he allows the crippled people to be born? If he's God, how come he allows people to be born with cerebral palsy? If he is God, how come he allows people to be born mentally handicapped? If he is God, how come he allows this to happen? If he is God, how come he allows our church, where we're preaching the gospel, not to grow rapidly like some of these other big churches out there in the country? If he is God, and I'll tell you, when you start saying things like that, you begin to speak against God. Yeah. You speak against, not for him, but you speak against him. Job chapter 15, verse 5 says, for thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Yeah. You be careful what you say. Be careful what you say about God. Be careful what you say to God. Amen. And be careful what you talk to others about God. Be careful what you say as a believer in Jesus Christ. Job 15:13 says, that thy turnest thy spirit against God, and lettest such words go out of thy mouth. Why would we allow even those words to come out of our mouth? Yeah, amen. Yeah, our worship of God ought to be because of who he is and how true he is. But yet we question sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with asking a question of God. Amen? God, how come this happened? You probably won't get an answer on this side of glory. Amen? Amen. But there's nothing wrong with asking God, how did this happen or why did this happen? But the question is, or the statement is, when we make this statement or this question this way to God, God, how come you're letting this happen? How come you're not dealing with this? How come you're not taking care of it? God, I'm faithful to you. How come you're not blessing me? How come you're not doing right by me, God? And well, I want to tell you, you better be careful. You better be, amen? You better be careful, because then you're speaking against God. So as we study the scriptures, we need to understand the Bible says in Psalm 34:13, keep thy tongue from evil. Keep thy tongue from evil, now watch, and thy lips from speaking guile. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. O Lord, you know what that means? Let me think before I speak. How many of us speak before we think? I'll put my hand up, amen. And then we say, well, it didn't sound like that in my head. No, it probably did. It just came out of your mouth too quick, amen. It probably did sound like that in your head. Yeah. Now, speak against God. We need to make sure that our speech is always seasoned with salt. And in doing that, we need to make sure our speech is in such a mannerism that it glorifies God and does not condemn God. I've heard believers that condemn God.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I've truly believed born again, saved by the very grace of God.
Yeah.
I've heard it by some families where I knew the preachers that are no longer in the ministry today because of how they raise their children, and they said, God did not answer my prayers. Better be careful.
Yeah.
Amen. Better be careful. God did answer their prayers, but it's not like they wanted them to be answered. And we need to make sure that we are serving God and God alone and nothing else and nobody else as a believer in Jesus Christ. But I don't want to focus on the negative of this message. I got about four more points. I want to focus on the positive side of this.
Yeah.
Because, see, you're going to speak against God or you're going to speak not for God but about God.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't need to speak for God.
Yeah, he speaks for himself.
He does, amen. But I need, when I speak about him, I ought to talk about him. I ought to speak about him. I ought to tell others about him. I ought not to be afraid to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you go back down with me now, please, let's just go down and look with me at verse 16 of this text. He said, then, this is after the negative part. Now watch what he says. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. And the Lord hearkened. Watch. And heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. When they got together, their speech was always about the things of God. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about football game, amen,
right,
when Ohio State beats Michigan, especially this next week. But I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm not saying we can't talk about those things. Sure, we can talk about those things. But our focus when we're together as believers in Jesus Christ ought to be a focus talking about the things of God, what God's done in your life. If I ask you this week, if I will come up to you today and I said, what has God done in your life this week? What has he done? Could you answer me? And we ought to be able to answer like this, not have to sit there and think about what God has done for me this week. Amen. Because he always ought to be on my mind. And can I be honest with you? In 50 years of salvation, it'd be 50 years January 15th that I got saved in that prison cell. And for 50 years of salvation, I'd have to be honest with you and say that the Lord has not always been on my mind in 50 years. There's been times, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to say in the last 10 years, there's been some times when the Lord has not been on my mind. Let me go another one with you. I say in the last 5 years, there have been some times when the Lord has not been on my mind. And not that I've spoken out against God, but I was not speaking about God. I'd say there's times when I come into a conversation and not one thing in the last year has been mentioned about God. And it ought not to be that way. Amen? We ought to speak about God, the Bible says. We ought to talk about him and who he is and what he has done. He said in Psalm chapter 105, verse 2, sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Talk of all his, what he has done, how he has done it, what he has done in your life, how he has saved you, how he has taken care of you, how he has met your need, how he over and over and over and over again. He says in Psalm 66, 16, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I will talk about what he's done for my life. I will talk about what he's done in my soul. I'll talk about how he saved me by his wonderful, matchless grace. Amen. That's God. We ought to not be afraid to talk about God. Psalm 119, verse 26. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. I've heard you, Lord. Make me to understand, the very next verse. He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Talk about the things of God. When's the last time you shared with somebody how you got saved? Or where you were when you got saved? Or why you got saved? Or how you got saved? We all get saved the same way, but we're all from different circumstances. Amen?
Yeah.
Anybody else been here in prison besides me? You got saved? Don't be afraid to tell people about it. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be afraid to share. Don't be afraid to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not proud of what I did before I got saved, but I sure am glad I got saved. And by the grace of God, I'll never go back to what I was before I was saved, because God is good. Amen.
Amen.
And we ought to be able, we ought to share that with people all the time. All the time. Look at Psalm chapter 145 with me just for a minute. Psalm 145. I got a couple of verses here I wanted to look at. Psalm 145, verse 1 through verse 7. He says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise the Lord to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of thy the glorious honor of thy majesty and of the thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy uprightness. Well, we ought to be not to be afraid to talk about God, amen, and his wondrous works and what he's done. Speak about him to others. A pastor friend of mine by the name of Don Bennett, he's in a nursing home today. He's got dementia real bad. But when we would get together, he was my pastor when I got out of prison. About a year after I got out at the Baptist church we went to. And he, whenever we'd get together, I don't care where we were going. We'd be going down the road somewhere, brother. We were going one time to visit somebody in Cleveland, Ohio at the Cleveland Clinic who had a massive heart attack. And we're going down the road, and he's driving. And he's got his Bible open beside us on the seat. He said, now look, read it. And he's going like this on the road. I said, tell me where you want to go, brother. I'll read it, amen. He says, tell me what scripture you want. And so I would get and I would read. We passed our turnoff, had to go down and do a Louis. And in fact, when we do Louis, cut across the median and go back in the southbound lane. But every time we got together, the conversation was always, always, always about God. Always. About God, unless I was playing chess with him.
Oh.
Then he would try to throw me off by talking about God, you know. So I got where I just didn't listen to him. And one day I beat him two games in a row. And we're going to play the third game. We get started, and I'm beating him. I mean, I'm just wiping him out on the board. And he goes, oh, that's the end of that. Flipped the board upside down. The pieces went all over the place, amen. He sat there, and he laughed at me, you know. That was not about God, amen. That's what I told him, amen. But so we need to speak about God. But it'll help you. When you're in your family, you ought to speak about God. When you're sitting at your dinner table, you ought to speak about God. When you're sitting in your chair, you ought to talk about God. I'm not saying he's going to be the forefront of every conversation that you have. I mean, you're going to talk about other things, amen. I notice when they get older now, brother, our conversation goes a lot from football and baseball to, you know, I've had knee surgery, and I've had back surgery, and I've had heart surgery, and some of us need brain surgery, amen. I'm just saying, some of us need a brain, yeah. I'm just simply saying but our conversation should always be seasoned, should always come back to the things of God. Then they speak about God, but why? Look at this with me, verse 17 of our text. Well, that's what he says again. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them. When I make up my jewels. And he's got a semicolon there. We're going to stop with that thought, when I make up my jewels. What were the jewels? They were something that was special to God. So they speak about God, but why? They're special to God. Can I tell you this? You're special to God. He's made something out of you, not because of you, but because of him. And when you got saved by the very grace of God, he has a plan and a purpose for you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 says this, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people. And I know this is Old Testament. You just wait for a little bit, because they're not the only ones that are special. You're special. I'll show you in a little bit. He says, this people unto himself, all above all the people upon the face of the earth, above everybody else, Israel was special. They were precious to God. In Deuteronomy 14:2, he says the same thing. But in Psalm 135:3, he said, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. It's a special treasure. It's a precious treasure. Yeah. That word peculiar there leads to the thought of being precious in that text. If you would study the word out in the Hebrew language, and I know nothing about the Hebrew language, I could not speak. But the only Hebrew I can speak is bagel. Amen. That's about it. That's about as far as it goes. Yeah, but if you look it up in a Strong's Concordance, you'll find out that is dealing with preciousness. So you are special to God. You are precious to God. He said, a peculiar treasure. John chapter 17, verse 20 says, neither I pray these for these alone. Speaking about his apostles and disciples and those of that day. He said, but, watch what he says. He said, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He prayed for you before he went to the cross. He prayed for you when he prayed for the disciples, for those that would believe on his name. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, watch this, says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar, there's that word peculiar again, people. Now, it means a little bit different in the Greek language than what it does in the Hebrew language, but the same thought is there. You are a special, peculiar treasure for God. I probably shared this here before. I had a friend that preached on that text. He said, peculiar. He said, that means odd. Yeah. Amen. There we are. He said, by the way, the message today is odd for God. Amen. That's what he said. And he said, and you are some odd people. Yes, we are. Amen. Hallelujah for that. He said, but he unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation. Now, I told you earlier, he calls you a saint. Here he calls you a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. That's a special people. That's a precious people. You are precious in the eyes of God. You are precious to God. He said, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Marvelous. Your light, your life should show that you, in a way that you are so precious to him that you are willing to serve and follow and to obey him as a child of God. Psalm chapter 116, verse 13 and 14 and 15. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, I get to thinking of Miss Julie, just passed away yesterday, Doyle's mom. I've known her for a long time, you know, a precious lady. And the Bible says that she is precious. The death of his saints is precious in the sight of the Lord. You know, I don't know. One day you're going to go, amen. And one day I'm going to go. Now my doctor said one time, you should have been dead three times. My brother said, no, it should have been four. What do you mean four? And he wasn't saying it because I was going to kill you. You probably felt like it a few times. I used to knock him out all the time. But, you know, before I got saved. And so anyway, he said, no, it should have been four. I said, what do you mean four? He said, the time you walk off that roof in the middle of the night where you should not have been, you landed on your head. And I did, boy, I tell you. I messed my back up big time with that one, but I'm still okay. I'm still okay. Amen. Nothing wrong with me. I tell you. So you're special to God. Amen. You speak about Him. You're special to Him. And then I want you to look at another one with me. Look at verse 17, because he says, "And they shall be mine." I'm going to read this part again. "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I shall make up my jewels." And then watch, he said, "I will spare them." You are spared by God. You're spared by God. You're not just special to Him. You speak about Him. You're special to Him, but you're spared by Him. Hey, I like what he talks about being spared in Psalm chapter 78:50. He speaks about what he had done in Egypt, in the plagues. He doesn't. I don't think he mentions every one there, but he mentions a lot of the stuff that he did in Egypt at that time. But yet he spared Israel because they applied the blood in obedience to God's promise. They obeyed His promise. Remember what the promise was? That if you take the blood of the lamb on the Passover and you put it on the doorpost and on the mantle of the door, he said, then when the death angel comes, I will pass over you and you will be spared. And he did. Not one house that had that blood around that door frame from that lamb had any problems with it. But boy, everybody who did not lost their firstborn child. Boy, I tell you, what a thought that would be. What a terrible thing that would be, amen. But they believed, so they believed, and they, because they applied the blood in obedience to God's promise. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, he talks about Noah. It says, "And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." And by the way, I believe in a worldwide flood.
Yeah, amen.
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 You can't get away from the scripture and say that it did not happen. It did happen. There's too much proof that it happened around the world. Too much proof, boy, that they've brought out and they've showed over the years about the layers of sediment and different things and how that happened and what caused all that to come about. But he spared Noah and his family because they obeyed God's promise. See, the Egypt obeyed, it was an obedience to God's promise. And then Noah and his family, they obeyed God's promise. In John chapter 3, verse 10 to 15, he talks about mankind. Remember where he says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved." And Jesus says in chapter 3 of John chapter in verse 10, Jesus answered, said unto them, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" Speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, "Hey, how can I be born again?" Amen. How can this happen? He said, Jesus says, "If I told you these things, or verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever," verse 15, "that whosoever believeth upon the name," what? "The name of the Lord," what? "Shall be Amen. Saved." Amen. "But that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. Excuse me. The very next verse Amen. Says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Amen. He spares those that will trust him for forgiveness. For forgiveness. Have you trusted the Lord for forgiveness? Have you asked him to save your soul? You know, that's the only way you can have eternal life. You know, some people think that your eternal life is in being good. When I got out of prison the first time, I went twice. When I got out the first time, I thought that, you know, if I could be good enough, I could pay for all my sin that I had done before I was, before, you know, in my past life, before I went to prison the first time. It didn't do any good. I went back a second time. Wasn't saved, didn't know Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, we get this thought in our mind that we have to, you're looking for something. I remember knocking on the rectory of the Catholic Church, brother, and I remember looking in the door and seeing the priest sitting in a chair in his living room with a pipe in his hand and sitting there, and he must have been asleep, must have fallen asleep. He had a pipe in his hand with his mouth like this, and I knocked a couple of times. Never, I'm glad he never answered the door, amen, because I would have never heard the truth. Right. I'm glad that God spared me from that. I really am.
Amen.
But then I went back to prison a second time and was witnessed. I got witnessed to while I was out of prison on parole, and I went back a second time, was witnessed to over and over and over again. The long story in that whole thing, but boy, I'm glad God showed me in His Word that my salvation could only be in Him and in Him alone and in nothing else.
Amen.
But Him. Amen. Amen. Not in how good I could be, because I couldn't. I was no good. I couldn't be good. If I tried to be good, I couldn't have been good. Amen. It just never worked for me.
Right. Right.
I mean, my mind was so wicked and so tied up in the world and so tied up in drugs and so tied up in alcohol and so tied up in a wicked, ungodly lifestyle that I didn't care about you and I didn't care about anybody else. I didn't care about my neighbor, didn't care about my mother, didn't care about my brother, didn't care about any of my relatives. I didn't care. I'm telling you, I didn't care. But boy, then God saved me. Guess what? I care now. And since I've been saved, I've had the privilege of leading a number of my relatives to the Lord Jesus Christ. I got some more I'm working on yet, amen. I'm hoping the Lord let me, I want to preach my own funeral. Amen. I want to do a CD, my own funeral, because I'm going to be the only one that's got anything good to say about me, amen. But I'm going to do my own CD. And I want them to play that. Amen.
Amen.
And tell them, guess what? I'm in heaven. Where are you going to be? Hell? I'm telling you, brother, I got a message planned out in my mind. I've never done it, and I probably never will do it, but I want to do it, amen. He spares those that trust in Him for forgiveness. He will spare you if you trust and believe Him, confessing your sin.
Amen.
And then watch what He says. What's it produce? Watch them, if you will. He says, I will spare them in the middle of verse 17. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. By the way, speaking against God, you're not serving with God or in God. He said, but you're going to be able to discern the difference. So here we see that you are a servant of God. A servant of God. Not to serve yourself. Not to serve yourself, but to serve God. I don't know how it is with you, but there's a lot of times when I've made up my own mind to do what I want to do. Anybody like that besides me? Rather than do what God maybe would have me to do. And you ever argue with God? Anybody in here besides me?
Amen.
Well, at least five or six of you are honest, amen. Amen. Yeah, we do. We argue with God sometimes. Amen, we do. We really do. God will put something on his heart to do, and we won't do it. Let me give you an illustration. And a lot of my illustrations are personal because I've been so stupid in my life and stupid in my Christian life sometimes. But one time I remember, I wasn't saved very long. We were going to that little Baptist church in New Lyme, Ohio, you know. And I remember we had an evangelist come in, or a missionary. I think it was a missionary that night was in there. I'm going back to the mid-70s when if you brought home $100 a week, you were doing good. Amen? How many of you remember those days when your take home maybe was 75 to 90 bucks if you were fortunate, you know? And if you got some overtime, you might get a $100 or $110 check. You know, boy, my son makes that in a couple hours now, brother. Amen?
Yeah.
And I've never made that kind of money. But God's been good to me, though. Amen? But I remember that, and I remember sitting in the church service, and I had $20. $20 in my pocket. And the pastor said, we're going to take up an offering this morning for the missionary. And the Lord immediately spoke to my heart and said, put $10 in. And no sooner did he speak to my heart that way, I immediately said, I've only got 20. And the very next thought in my heart was, put the 20 in. So I did, because I knew my wife didn't have it and I couldn't beg it off of her, amen. So she wasn't working at the time and I was, you know. And by the way, at $100 a week, I paid a house off in 4 years. Isn't God good? Amen. And then 6 months later, we sold the house, went into the ministry, and never owned anything again until we bought that little place down there in Adrian, Michigan, just recently. God's been good, amen. Made my wife a drug addict. I drug her from one church to the next, around the country, out of the country, in the country, you know. And she's a drug addict and I'm a dope, amen. 1 Corinthians 7:22 says, "For he, servant of God, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman." Now listen, Lord's freeman. "Likewise also he that is called, being freed, being free is Christ's servant." That's the whole verse. The Christ servant. People like to focus on we are free to do what we want to do. No, the Bible says you're freed that you might be Christ's servant. Psalm 109:26 says, "Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy." Verse 27 and 28, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. They're going to curse God, but I bless you. Bless thou, Lord. Bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. You're a servant of Christ, amen. No matter, can I tell you what? Preachers are servants of Christ. Pastors are servants of Christ. Pastors' wives are servants of Christ. People in the pew, deacons or otherwise, teachers or otherwise, are servants of Christ. If you've been saved by the grace of God, guess what? You are a servant of Christ. Yeah. Amen. So here's what I'd like to say. Don't take this the wrong way, but then we ought to act like a servant for Christ. What did a servant do? Whatever the master asked him to do. Amen? Whatever the master asked the servant to do, the servant did. What's God ask you in his word to do? Well, he asked us to be a witness. Amen. Not everybody, Pastor, I learned a long time. Not everybody is a soul winner. I got some friends, they're soul army. Man, they're out, and I've seen them lead more people to the Lord. I couldn't tell you how many people. I've led a lot of people to the Lord over the years. But I'm not a soul winner. I'm not one that just always showing people how to get saved. I'm not. I try to be, but I'm more of a revivalist. Some friends of mine are evangelists. I mean, man, they're out there, and I see them get Brother Clarence Heflin. I see somebody's getting saved every week at this church. Every week on visitation, somebody gets saved. I've seen him lead teenagers to the Lord. I've seen him lead old people to the Lord, amen. Which is most of you in this church, amen. You're old, just kidding. Help me, O Lord. He said, let me see these things. Let me do these things. Look at Psalm 119. We're almost done. Just bear with me for a few more moments, if you would. Psalm 119. And look at Psalm 119 down in verse 33. Psalm 119 down to verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Well, that's what we ought to do. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. He says in verse 38, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. If you're a servant of Christ, you ought to want to have his word in your heart. You ought to want to know what the Bible says and apply the very word of God to your life as a child of God. Psalm 119, 176 says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. He said, I've gone, he said, he's not lost, but he's gone away like, he's walked away from the things of the Lord. So he says, seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. You know, this is amazing. Sometimes we don't do what we're supposed to do, but we know. We know, actually, mind and the heart's the same thing, amen. We know what we should do. We just haven't done it. So he says, no servant can serve two masters, for he will hate to the one in Luke 16, 13, or he will love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon is the riches of this world. Mammon is anything that's worldly, amen. But it deals with finances in that text, if we study that text out. But mammon, those things that we are trusting rather than trusting the things of God. We become a servant of the world rather than a servant of God. You can be born again believer and be a servant of the world because your focus is off of God. Can I make this statement to you? When you're not working and when you're not sick and the church doors are open for services, you ought to be in the church. You got to be in the house of God. Amen. Sometimes you have to work and you can't get there. Sometimes you're sick and you can't get there. Sometimes something else crops up, I know, and you can't get. But when the doors are open and you're not sick and you're not working and you're not yada yada whatever, and that mannerism, and don't let something else take, don't let mammon control your worship of God. Yeah. Don't let the world stop you from being a servant of Jesus Christ that he has intended for you ever since you became a born-again believer, saved by the very grace of God. Yeah. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Two questions. The first question this morning is this. Has there been a time in your life when you have been saved by the grace of God? Has there been a time in your life when you've been saved by the grace of God? Now, I'm going to ask it this way. If you're not sure that you've ever been saved, you're not sure. Maybe you're questioning it. Maybe you're thinking in your mind, I think, but I'm not sure because some things in my life are not adding up with what I'm supposed to be and what I ought to be. You say, I'm not sure. Could you just pray for me, Brother Mike? How about it like that? Anybody at all right now with an upraised hand say, I'm not sure about my salvation. Just not sure. And I'll pray for you. I really will. My prayer can't save you. My prayer wouldn't save you, but I would pray for you. Second question. You say, Mike, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer. I am saved. Would you pray for me that, I know I covered a lot of things, but I'm just going to, right here. Would you pray for me that my speech would be adequate for what God would have me be as a child of God? And everything else will line up. How about God bless you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for, Lord, who you are and what you've done in our lives, and that you'd be honored and glorified, Father. Help us, Father, to speak about you and not speak against you. God, help us to understand and receive what you have for each one of us. Help us to be a servant to thy honor and to thy glory. Move us out of the way, that Jesus Christ would be seen and magnified and glorified. We'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let's stand our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And Lord spoke to your heart this morning. I'm going to ask you to do this. Why don't you just slip out and come to the altar right now before we go to the Lord in prayer. Come on. If you raise your hand, you ought to be up here. Come on. Raise your hand. You ought to come. You just come. If you can't kneel down, you can sit on the front pew. All right? There's nothing wrong with that. Lord, speak to your heart. You come. You come deal with it, take care of it between you and God. Let God do what he wants to do his way and how he wants to do it. And I'm going to turn it over to Pastor in just a second. Pastor, would you come and pray for these?
Lord, you've been good to us. Give us all that you've given us. Ask you, Lord, to help folks. I don't know who else is needing to be down front this morning. And they're in their pew there. God, would you help us to speak of you? God, help us to always to praise you with our lips and our praise you with our tongue and praise you with our whole being. Even our body language either speaks of you or it speaks against you.
Yeah, amen.
God, I pray that we would take it serious, this thing being a Christian. Lord, would you be patient? Would you be merciful to us as we're learning to speak of you? Thank you, God, for this message. Thank you, Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If God's in with your heart, come on. If God's in with your heart, you come on. If not, we'll end the invitation in just a moment. This away, we'll go down and eat some Thanksgiving turkey dinner or whatever dinner's down there. Please say, Sister Ward, you and your sisters there, y'all sang beautiful.
Amen.
Thank you. Miss Betsy, thank you. I'm going to have to sing it with you.
Yes,
I'm learning it as you sing it, so I hope it blesses your heart. We still on, Brother Scott?
Yep.
Hey, everyone, if you're watching, thank you for being with us, and Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Speak of God.
Yeah.
Don't speak against him. My Brother Mike, you know, I think Brother Mike's got saved. No. You know, it was a blessing to hear that, and it helped my heart a lot today. If it didn't help your heart, chances are you didn't think you needed help.
No.
We always need help.
Always.
Corey, thank you, buddy, for being with me today. Mom and Dad, I love you. We'll see you this week. Listen, we'll pray, and then we'll go get the food all ready. Father, you've been so good to us to bless us with food again. You blessed us with sunlight. Most importantly, you blessed us with yourself. And may we be worshipful in our language, whether it's the choice of words used or in the way we use those words or the attitude behind it or, Lord, everything behind it, that we would do it to honor and glorify you, and we would say the things and do the things that make each other better. And I'm just griping it out. Yeah, I got to thinking about that today. It's probably better just to praise it out instead of gripe it out.
Amen.
So, Lord, help us today to praise you, glorify you, and understand that that's worshipful. We praise you for the lessons learned today, and may they be in our hearts and minds, and may we take note of them. We give you the glory and the praise for having been with us once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone, there's an offering plate up here, there's an offering plate back there.